8 through 10, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, or cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Wow. Here's your first fill-in-the-blank right out of the chute. What a picture of the calling of God to us to repent and to live for Him. To repent and to live for Him. Remember last week we closed with verse 7 that says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But I want to remind you tonight that the word submit to God is a military term, and it means get in your proper rank. That's what it means. Get in your proper rank. When a buck private acts like a general, there's going to be trouble. You can just bank on it. Unconditional surrender is the only way to complete victory. And if there's any area of life that is kept from God, there will always be battles. I put that there, but the reality is, I got news for you. There's always going to be battles regardless. There's going to be battles because there's a devil out there that hates you and I. He hates God and he hates us because we're God's children. And if he can discourage us, distract us, kill us, whatever, that's what he's going to do. But the truth of it is it explains why uncommitted Christians cannot live with themselves or with other people. So how then do we come close to God? What happens? How do we come close to God? James gives us five ways. Number one, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. That's a fill in the blank. In other words, yield to His authority and to His will and commit your life to Him and to His control and be willing to follow Him. The problem, if you want my opinion, which opinions are like armpits, everybody has a couple of them and most of them stink. I am on one, aren't I? The church, by and large, wants to be saved and go to heaven, but there's not a whole lot of people that are lined up to follow Him. Yeah. Is this working?
I want to go to heaven, but maybe not just right yet.
Well, everybody wants to go to heaven. We just don't want to die to get there.
That's right.
Yeah. Number one, humble yourself before God. Number two, resist the devil. Don't allow the enemy to entice you and to tempt you. Number two, resist the devil. Those are fill in the blanks. Resist the devil. Number three, four more fill in the blanks. Wash your hands and purify your heart. Wash your hands and purify your heart. What that really is saying in a nutshell is lead a pure life. Lead a pure life. Be cleansed from sin. How do we get cleansed from sin? By being washed in the blood. By being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Number four. Let there be three fill-ins, sorrow and deep grief for your sins. Don't be afraid to express deep, heartfelt sorrow for what you've done. Admit when you're wrong. Admit when you've blown it. Admit when you screwed it up. Because, hey, here's a news flash. We've all done it. And the church said amen. It's true. We've all blown it at one level or another. So don't let the devil beat you up over your shortcomings. Repent, get up, dust yourself off, and go again. Number five, humble yourself before the Lord. Number one was humble yourself before God. This one is humble yourself before the Lord. And when you do, He will lift you up in honor. So the idea then of humility before God now includes the added benefit of His immediate response. We can draw close to God, and when we do, God will draw close to us. Isn't that amazing? As we draw, what does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. So the command to wash your hands means that we're to purify our actions and change our external behavior. The way we live matters to God. And as we draw near to God, we will become aware of habits and actions in our lives that are not pleasing to Him. I go back to 1991 in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. I was on the worship team, and we were having revival services with Dan and Marty Womack at the Assembly of God in Myrtle Creek, and I was on the worship team, and we were singing, and it was after the service, and Kathy was on the piano, and we were doing the afterglow, as they call it, and she was playing I Surrender All. And I was singing I Surrender All. Over and over and over. And oh, I mean like for 30 minutes, over and over. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking this thought, can we not just get on with it? I mean, there's another, so, I mean, I want to go home. What I was honestly thinking was I want to go out to my truck and get a chew and go home. And the Lord says to me that night, He says, you know what you're doing? I said, yeah, we're singing I Surrender All over and over. And I'm sick to death of singing this song. And He said, well, do you know what you're singing? I said, yeah, I Surrender All. He goes, do you? I mean, we had this conversation. And I said, yeah, I do. And He goes, really? I said, yeah. He said, well, then how come is it that all you can think about is going out to your pickup and having a chew if you surrender all? Because your body is the temple of my Holy Spirit. And I said, gotcha. You ever have one of those moments? And so I went and got a deacon, and I asked him to come and pray with me. And so he did, and he prayed a very eloquent prayer. And he said, Lord, if Pastor, I wasn't even pastor then. He said, if Brother Shane ever takes another chew of Copenhagen, I pray he pukes up his toenails. That was his prayer. Amen. That was the end. If Brother Shane ever takes another chew of Copenhagen, I pray he pukes up his toenails. Amen. And walked off. And so I went out to my truck, and I took my Copenhagen out, and I threw it away because I didn't want none of that. And he said, go get it. And I said, you just told me to get rid of it. He said, no, I told you to quit it. He said, go get it. I said, why do I have to go get it? He said, because I want you to carry it with you. And I said, I don't want to carry it with me. He goes, yeah, you want to run from it. But he said, I want you to carry it with you so it's right within arm's reach all the time. Because if you can resist that, you can defeat it. Now it's in 1991, and I've not had a chew of Copenhagen since. I don't carry it with me anymore. But, you know, so, you know, it's those are the kinds of things that our habits and our actions that aren't pleasing to God. Listen, don't let the... How do I say this without getting myself in a real bunch of trouble? Don't let the enemy beat you up for your habits, whether it's smoking or whatever it may be. Don't let the enemy beat you up over that. God will deal with you when He's ready to deal with you on those issues. I do believe that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that we have to take care of our body. I do believe that.
I
But don't let religiosity start telling you, well, if you were any kind of a Christian, you wouldn't do that. Well, listen, I'm under construction. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. He who began a good work in you, he's working on you. You're not a completed project yet. Our beautification out there is not done, is it? No, it's a process. It's a process that we're going through. You are a process. Yes, God is working on you. And when he tells you to do this, that, and the other, then I think we ought to do it. But we got to be careful, church, to not let a religious spirit rise up and bring condemnation, because Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. So listen, don't let him beat you up. Even when you blow it, get up. Go again. That was all free. That has nothing to do with my message. Sure. Briefly.
Even when you're doing something that is not wrong or harming anybody or harming yourself, I like to read. I love to read. I read book after book after book, and I made sure they were good books to read, but I wasn't reading the Bible. And God says, you've got to stop. You're not reading my word.
Well, yeah, that'll work. Yeah. See, well, I better just move on. Cleansing the hands was in the days in the Bible was a symbol of innocence and purity. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24 says, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather had a tumult, that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. How many of you know, just because he washed his hands, he was not innocent of that blood? He tried to be, but he couldn't. Yeah. So the command then, likewise, to purify your heart calls for purity of thought and motives, changes on the inside, and the people could not remain hypocrites trying to love both God and the world. It's like riding the fence. How many of you know you cannot ride the fence? You got to either be on one side of it or the other, because if you don't, you get splinters, right? Purity of heart implies single-mindedness. And as God draws near to us, we ought to sense our unworthiness. But don't let your unworthiness bring you down to a level. Just recognize that he's a great God. And we all need him. I don't care who we think we are or how great we think we are. We need Jesus. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. And you might be the only Jesus that they see. This Saturday, I'm believing that there's going to be a whole bunch of Jesuses walking around over there, that we're not shouting it from the house, from the rooftops, that we're Harvest Christian Assembly and we're Christians and we're this, that, and the other thing. No, we're just putting forth the love of Jesus to a group of people that need the love of Jesus. No hidden agenda. We just want to love on the city. We want to do what we can, maybe to save one person. If we save one person, if one person gets their mind changed to where they won't commit suicide, then praise be to God, we have been a success. We're being allowed to approach a holy and a perfect God. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about it. We can therefore come boldly to the throne of grace and find help and mercy. Come boldly. That means we can just go stomping right in there, right? We don't appointment. You know, you don't. He ain't checking his schedule, see if he can fit you in. No, you just march right in there. March right in there. James describes a long spiritual process in these last eight verses, and he begins by describing people in conflict with one another and within themselves, and he goes on to describe the source of those conflicts as inappropriate desire, motivated in large part by trying to stay close to the world and also be close to God. And so by unmasking that kind of life and calling believers to humility, and may not be a welcome message, surrender might not come easy. Long-held desires may respond with defiance, and repentance may have to include the remembering how far we have broken from God's way before we have turned back. But the important thing is always that we turn back. Doesn't matter how far away you've gotten, when you repent and turn around, you're back. Isn't that amazing? Some different terms: sorrow, deep grief, sadness, gloom. It all captures the struggle of a soul that's doing its best to draw near to God. And there's a dying that takes place. And there's a call to deep and heartfelt repentance. And when it's talking about laughter, the people's laughter, it was really a kind of a scornful kind of a laughter, kind of a mockery kind of a laughter. They were laughing with their joy in the world's pleasures, but it needed to be changed. And until that happened, there was no room for laughter, for real freedom and joy of the Lord. The Christian life involves joy. Our joy is complete in Him, right? Your joy doesn't come from your circumstance. Your joy comes from an internal desire that says, hey, I choose joy today. Everything's going nuts and crazy, whacked out in my life, but I choose to be joyful. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 See, oh yeah, who did that? Yeah. I gotta quit. Lord help us. How many of you are laughing right now? It's a joy. It's joy welling up inside of you, man. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And if I have to stand in front of you guys in the world and make goofy songs like that, but it makes people joyful, I'm all for it. I could care less what people think about me right now. The Christian life involves joy. And joy comes in the morning. His mercy's new every morning. His grace is sufficient. I'm trying to just encourage you tonight. James chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Here's some fill-ins for you. To bow down before the Lord and admit our dependence on Him means recognizing. You getting that? The first blank is dependence. The second one, dependence on Him means recognizing that our worth comes from God alone. Now, how much time do I have left? 2 hours. All right. 2 hours. I've got 2 hours left. How do you determine what something is worth? What'd you just say? by what someone is willing to. I might only give you $5 for it, but he might give you $25 for it. It's only $5 worth of value to me, but it's $25 to Harry. So regardless of what the thing is, regardless of what people say, you determine the value of the object by what someone's willing to pay. And so when you go home tonight, look yourself in the mirror and ask, what is my value? And you can realize and understand that your value is so high that the God of all creation, the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, that the God, the I Am, sent His Son to die to redeem you. That's how much value you have. That's what you're worth. To the Son, to the Father, and to the Son, that the Son was willing to be obedient to the Father to go and die and give His life a ransom for a bunch of clowns like us that don't deserve it. We don't. It's recognizing our desperate need for His help and submitting to His will for our life. And although we don't deserve God's favor, He reaches out to you and I in love and gives us worth and dignity despite our human shortcomings. You'll never amount to a hill of beans. Well, let me correct you on that, because I did amount to a hill of beans, because the God of all creation sent His Son to die for me and redeem me because He thought I was a big deal. He thought I was worth something. Well, you didn't even graduate high school. No, I didn't. But here I am. You keep coming back. I got nothing to give you except what God gives me. The promise is sure. He will lift us up and will give us honor. And one of the most touching biblical illustrations of this truth is found in the parable of the forgiving father. What parable is that? You probably know it as the prodigal son. But it was the forgiving father. The son took his inheritance. He set out to be the world's best friend. You ever notice if you got money, people come to you? I am your friend. Say hello to my little friend. He took his inheritance, he set out to be the world's best friend, and it was not until he found himself completely bankrupt in every way that he repented and returned home grieving. The son, here's your fill in the blank, the son confessed to his father that he was unworthy to be called a son. How many of you have sons? What will make that son not your son? Nothing. Even if they, God forbid, die, they're still your son. He says, I'm unworthy. I can't, I'm not even your son anymore, is what he was saying. I've blown this so bad. I can't even be called your son anymore. He never lost his sonship, church, but he lost his inheritance. There's a difference. There's a difference. The son confessed to his father that he was unworthy to be called a son, but the father lifted him up and welcomed him back into the family. So the act of returning then required submission. The wayward son, this wayward son's words of repentance required humility. And the end result was what? Great joy. Great joy. The father saw the son come and jumped off the porch, girded himself and took off running and fell on his neck and said, listen, get the robe, get some sandals, get the ring, kill the calf. We're going to have a party. Because this son was lost. He never says this, clown that spent all of his money. No, he says, this son of mine that was lost has now been found. And he's come back. He's home. Isn't that amazing? He lifted him up and he welcomed him back. It required submission. It required humility. But the end result was great joy. How many of you know it wasn't great joy for everybody? And who does he represent, Ralph?
I guess me.
The church.
The church? Okay.
Oftentimes the church is not happy when somebody that's run out and lived like hell and done all the things and spent all the money and gotten all kinds of trouble and then they come back and repent and God restores that person back into the fold and the church is like... Oftentimes, that religious spirit will, if it's not kept in check, will act that way. This brother was like, man, why are you doing all this for him? You know what he did? I've been here the whole time. And the father says, you could have had all this too. If you'd have just asked. It's amazing, isn't it? Humility before God will be followed by His lifting us up. And bowing in humility before God means recognizing our worth comes from God alone. To be humble involves two things for you to fill in the blank right here. Number one, His power and His guidance. We got to have God's power and we got to have God's guidance. He said He's going to give us His Holy Spirit. And He did give us His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit is living inside of us to guide us and to direct us and to lead us into all truth. That's what He's for. He's the paraclete. He's the counselor. When things are going wrong, who do you go to? Go to a counselor. You have one in you. Use that one. It's cheaper and better. Just saying.
A question. People, I've heard it several times lately, well, we're all children of God. And I said, yes, if you mean that we're all sons of Adam. But we're adopted into God's family, which is different than just being a child of God, which all the human race is the child of God, right?
Right.
How do you...
Just like you just did.
Okay.
Just exactly like you just did. We're all His creation. We're all His children. And He's not willing that any one of us should perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's not willing, but remember, there's two wills. God's perfect will and His permissive will. And if you don't want to get saved, you don't have to. You don't have to. But it won't be because God doesn't want you to, because He does want you. And He's done everything He can for you to be saved. But you have to act on it.
What about the people in Mongolia? What about the people in...
The Bible makes that very clear, that there is enough evidence in God's... They're all worshiping something, aren't they? Wonder where that comes from. They're all worshiping something, so they all know of God. And it might not look like the God that we think God looks like. And so there is spiritual things that are taking place. There is evidences of God. There's missionaries that are doing their best. And personally, I believe that if the rapture happens and God calls the church out of here, and if there are those people groups that never heard of Him, they'll go to heaven. That's what I think.
Because you're only held responsible for what you know.
Right.
There's a thing called prevenient grace.
I don't know what that is.
Well, prevenient grace is that little spark in us that... Okay, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
All of us.
All of us, what is it, first verse of Ephesians 2, you know, we're all doomed, basically. But he says, but you have to quicken who are lost and dead in sins and trespasses. You have to quicken. So there's a quickening spark that we all have, and we can reject it, or we can give into it.
So do you think it's limited to you and I?
No, everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
So if that's quickened, if that spark is in everybody, everybody, whether they're in Mongolia or Timbuktu or Lower Borislambodia.
Right. If they don't know.
They know something of Jesus because you said that he is given. And he has. To every man, the Bible says, God has given a measure of faith. Every one of us. And so we have to understand that. That every one of us have the capability, whether it's in Mongolian or in English or whatever the case may be. We all know. At some level, yes.
When Jim would drive in the truck, he wasn't reading the Bible, but he would call me up sometimes at night and say, the Lord and I had the most wonderful day today. He was just talking to me. He can talk to anybody he wants to and call anybody he wants to, wherever they're at and whatever they're doing.
Yeah, he can. He can. Anybody in a hurry? Yes? Okay. You liking this? Getting something out of it? It's helping you? Okay, well, here's what we're going to do then. I'm going to stop right there. Because I'm at a good spot. And I don't want to rush it. And I don't want them to have to miss out on it. And I don't want anybody else to have to miss out on it. And it's almost 7 o'clock. So hang on to your fill in the blanks. So you have to come back now next Wednesday, Ralph. Right? You got to come back, man.
I
got
to get your URL so I can listen to it.
Go talk to them ladies right back there. They'll hook you up. They'll get you dialed right in on how to watch this. We'd rather have you watching it right here.
It's always better to talk to the source.
Amen. Any comments or questions before we go to prayer?
One night, I was driving into Rosa from Winston. And I was bridges there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I wasn't exactly walking with the Lord at the time, but I was so overwhelmed by the Spirit. I went up to my spiritual mother, Doris, and I told her what happened. And I said, I'm not even walking with the Lord right now. She said, Louise, what makes you think God loves you any more today than he did yesterday?
Yep. And his spirit just welled up inside of you, regardless.
Right.
Regardless. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord, you are the great God Jehovah. And as we begin next week to look at these next couple of verses, Lord, I pray that this week you would visit with your people, that you would help us have those moments where you just come alongside and you overwhelm us and you just bless us. Lord, that you just spark that joy like what we saw tonight kind of begin to erupt in this very place. Lord, I just pray tonight that you would just bless this lesson that we've talked about, these verses tonight, Lord. And I pray that as we ponder them and mull them over, God, that you would reveal more than even what I've tried my best to reveal to your people. But Lord, I pray tonight for those that need a touch in their body. Lord, that are fighting battles that none of us know about. We thank you for your Holy Spirit watching over Lyric today. God, for watching, literally watching over him. And God, I thank you for it. I pray, Lord, that we would have more testimonies like that, that where you've just showed up and done things, God. And I'm grateful for that. Lord, I pray for tomorrow for the ladies' Bible study that you would just be glorified. I pray you would bless Glenda, anoint her to boldly declare your word. And I pray you would let your people, the ladies, God, receive that word and may it transform them. God, watch over each one of us as we go from this place. God, give us rest, refreshing, healing, health, and wholeness, Lord. Make provision, Lord, where there's lack. Give generosity, Lord, where there's abundance. And Lord, I thank you for it. I look forward to the men's retreat this weekend. I pray again, Lord, that you'd use all of our guys that are going, Lord, that we might show those guys and whoever else might be there the love of Jesus. And I thank you for it. God, I pray to Sunday, Lord, bring the increase. I pray for this color walk, Lord, that, oh God, I pray that you show up. I pray that lives are changed and transformed. I pray that people have an opportunity to pray and to be prayed for. And Lord, I pray that no one gets recognition except you. Your desire is to change lives regardless of whatever banner we come under, Lord. Ultimately, we want to honor you. And I thank you for it. Give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 next week. Hang on to it. Don't let it get away from you. Yes, sir. Oh. Amen. That is awesome, buddy. That is awesome.